Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." And I want to say hello. This is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, welcoming you today to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. We don't have our music today, so you just have to imagine the music and the introduction and all the things. Noah may come in later and add it back in for the other broadcast, but it is truly a blessing to be here. I was thinking this morning of Psalms 118, verse number 24. The Bible says over there, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." And I realize there's a lot of turmoil, a lot of strife going on in the world, a lot of uncertainty and problems all over the place. And it's easy to get caught up in all of those things, but it's good to stop real often and just count your blessings and just think about all the good things in your life. You say, "Well, I can't think of very many good things." Well, I'm sure if you thought and tried, you could think. Sometimes we say, "Well, it could always be worse." I don't know if that helps anybody or not, but it's true nevertheless. But I was studying yesterday, and it was snowing again. And, you know, we've had a real long winter, it seems like. But the birds, a lot of the birds are back. The robins are back. And it was snowing, and the birds were singing, and I was studying. I could hear the birds singing. I was watching and taking just a little break there, and the birds were singing, and just like they were having the best time in the world. And if you hear the birds sing, you cannot hear any complaining going on in all of that. And I thought, you know, they're acting just like that. This is how it's supposed to be, and they were just enjoying it, and I got a blessing out of that. That's a little blessing, but it's a blessing. And I thought about just to enjoy some things. And it's good to do that and count your blessings. Well, I hope it's well with you today. I hope it's well with your soul. God created man upon the earth. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7, that God made him a living soul. And that soul lives forever. Once a person is born into this world, once a person is conceived in the womb, they are made a living soul that will live somewhere forever. Somewhere forever. Question mark on the end of that. The question is, where will your soul live forever? Well, John 8:36 says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." We hope and pray that you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior today. I want to take just a moment and welcome all of our listeners. We appreciate you listening in today. If you're right here on AM 1450 WATA in Boone, AM 690 WZAP in Bristol, Virginia. We've been on that station the longest and started, I think, in 1996 with the Old Paths broadcast. Then we lived out west a little while, had a break there, but we've been back on WZAP for several years now. We do appreciate the good folks over there. And then our newest station, we've been on for probably a year or so now. I'd have to look back, but 89.1 FM The Truth in Watertown, South Dakota. And so we appreciate all of our radio stations. If you are just tuning in today, once again, this is the Blessings of Liberty. That comes from the preamble to the Constitution. And we always give Leviticus 25, verse number 10. That's on the Liberty Bell, where it says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." But we're in the middle of a study on the subject of the Constitution. This is part 6 on the Constitution. And what we're doing, we're not going through the Constitution line upon line, but there are 7 institutions that are recognized in the United States Constitution, and we're just going through those 7 institutions. First of all, we looked at we the people. That's how it starts out, and that is most important in the Constitution, is we the people. Then the Constitution recognizes also the militia. We've already studied that. Then it recognizes the states. That's what we looked at last week. And today we're going to go along and look at the United States. Now, there is a difference. And just to be honest, in years gone by, I probably wouldn't have thought much about that. Maybe you've never thought about that before, but there is a difference in the Constitution between the states and the United States. Now, the states, when it's talking about the states in the Constitution, that is talking about individually. North Carolina, South Carolina, Virginia, Tennessee, all the states make up the states. When it's talking about the United States, that's talking about what we do together as a nation. For example, the difference, you just read the Constitution, you'll see there is a distinction between the two. Article 4, Section 4 in the United States Constitution says this: the United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. So you see the distinction there. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government. Somebody said, well, I thought our government was a democracy. I thought we had a democracy. We have democratic principles in the United States, but our government and every state government is a republican form of government. That means that it is a representative form of government based upon law, not upon the whim of man, not upon the current wave of popular opinion. Oh, I think we ought to do this. Let's all just get the majority together and force our way. No, that is not how our government is set up. We are a republican form of government. Now, when the Constitutional Convention of 1787 was over, the men who had a part in the framing of it, those who came together and spent the summer in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, when they were done with it, they counted it as a miracle what had been done. Many of them testified that it took no less than a miracle and that it was the handiwork of God what they had come together and been able to put together over the course of that summer. Now, I want to just read a few examples from the men who were involved in the making of the United States Constitution. Benjamin Rush said this: Dr. Rush then proceeded to consider the origin of the proposed Constitution and fairly deduced it was from heaven, asserting that he as much believed the hand of God was employed in this work as that God had divided the Red Sea to give a passage to the children of Israel or had fulminated the Ten Commandments from Mount Sinai. He believed God was just as much involved in the creation of the United States Constitution. Benjamin Franklin, who never gave a clear testimony of being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did believe in God, though. And he said this: I have so much faith in the general government of the world by providence that I can hardly conceive a transaction of such momentous importance as the framing of the Constitution should be suffered to pass without being in some degree influenced, guided, and governed by that omnipotent, omnipresent, and beneficent ruler in whom all inferior spirits live and move and have their being. That's what Benjamin Franklin said. James Madison said, the real wonder is that so many difficulties should have been surmounted, talking about in the Federal Convention, and surmounted with a unanimity almost as unprecedented as it must have been unexpected. It is impossible for any man of candor to reflect on this circumstance without partaking of the astonishment. It is impossible for the man of pious reflection not to perceive in it a finger of that almighty hand which has been so frequently and signally extended to our relief in the critical stages of the revolution. George Washington said, it appears to me little short of a miracle that the delegates from so many different states should unite in forming a system of national government so little liable to well-founded objections. So he said the creation of the Constitution is little short of a miracle. Charles Pinckney said when the General Convention met, no citizen of the United States could expect less from it than I did. So many jarring interests and prejudices to reconcile. Now, what they were amazed at is that things were in such a mess. I'm going to show you some of these examples in a minute, but they were in dire straits as a nation. And what they were amazed at is that they could come together over the summer and they came away in agreement. That's what they were amazed at as I read these examples. He said the variety of pressing dangers at our doors, even during the war, were barely sufficient to force us to act in concert and necessarily give way at times to each other. But when the great work was done and published, I was not only most agreeably disappointed, but struck with amazement. Nothing less than the superintending hand of Providence that so miraculously carried us through the war could have brought it about. George Washington said the adoption of the Constitution will demonstrate as visibly the finger of Providence as any possible event in the course of human affairs can ever designate it. And one more, James Madison said the happy union of these states is a wonder. Their Constitution is a miracle. Their example, the hope of liberty throughout the world. Woe to the ambition that would meditate the destruction of either. These great men were amazed when they were done at what had been accomplished by the creation of the United States Constitution. And as I've already said, part of the miracle was the union of the states into the United States. The reality is that the United States Constitution created the United States. What I mean by that, America, from the time of the American Revolutionary War until the establishment of the United States Constitution, could have actually been called the un-United States. They were united in the war. But as soon as the war was over and they had their freedom from Great Britain, they had anything but a United States. Oh, sure, they referred to it as the United States, but they didn't have a constitution. Their governing law of the land was the Articles of Confederation, but the Confederation was so weak that we as a nation could get absolutely nothing done. We couldn't get anything done. The Continental Congress was dependent upon all the states agreeing for anything that they wanted to do. To get any money to do anything, they had to go to the states. And the states were not very willing to give them any money to do anything. They couldn't agree on anything. The Constitution actually gave us the federal government, if you think about it. Let me read from the preamble to the Constitution. I'm going to say that again. The Constitution actually gave us the federal government. Now, I'll explain what I mean by that. When you read in the preamble to the Constitution, it says, "We the people of the United States." We the people of the United States. The heart of the United States is the people. The mind and the body of the United States is actually the Congress. What I mean, how else would we accomplish anything together if there was not a body to get that accomplished through? And so whenever we as a nation act in concert together, it has to be done through some institution. That institution is the Congress. I think one of the most important parts of the Constitution, when you're looking at the Articles, is Article 1, Section 8, when it talks about the Congress. It just simply begins over there. The Congress shall have power. And it talks about all the things that the Congress has the power to do. Now, when you look at Congress, Congress is very powerful. For example, it starts out, the Congress shall have power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, and excises, to pay the debts and provide for the common defense. So Congress is to oversee the income of the nation. How does the nation sustain itself? Taxes, duties, imposts. The federal government does not make any money. This is why we need to really pay attention to what's going on in the federal government, because all the money they get comes from, guess who? We the people. But they have the power to do that. They are the purse strings of the nation. They hold the wallet. They hold the checkbook of the nation. So Congress is very, very important. They are responsible for the income. They are responsible for the outflow, the paying of debts to other nations, to contractors, employees, whatever the case. They are responsible for the checkbook. So we know whoever holds the checkbook holds a lot of power in the nation. They are responsible for the common defense. It goes on and talks about the raising and sustaining of an army and a navy. They are responsible, it goes on, section number 8, to borrow money on the credit of the United States. So they are responsible for the borrowing money. They are responsible to regulate commerce with foreign nations. That's what it goes on down and says. So how are we going to have trade with other nations? Congress is to oversee this. It goes on down to establish a uniform rule of naturalization. Congress is to be involved in other people coming from other countries and becoming citizens of this country. That's why you have it debated all the time, talking about what are we going to do? What are we going to do about naturalization? What are we going to do about people from other countries? What about Mexico? What are we going to do about this? Congress, it is their responsibility to do these things. And so it goes on down and it gives several things that Congress is responsible for. But you can summarize it like this. All the things that we do together as a nation is actually done through Congress. Congress represents the United States, the federal government. This is something that I think a lot of people maybe have never realized before, or maybe you don't even think about it very much. Who is the United States anyway? How do we all do anything together? It's through Congress. We the people are the heart. You know, we can wave a flag. We can say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. But how do we get anything done? How do we accomplish anything? How do we pay our debts? How do we interact with other countries? Who has the power to declare war? It's through Congress. All these things are done through Congress. Now, the United States, think of Congress, is very, very important. Before the United States Constitution, we as a nation had major problems. We were free from Great Britain. We had won our freedom, the American Revolutionary War. Thank God for that. Everybody was glad about that. But it didn't take very long, just a very short period of time, that everything else began to fall apart. That's the way it is even in life sometimes. You have this great battle. And as soon as the battle's over, you know, you just want to sit down and wipe your brow and get a glass of iced tea and say, boy, I'm glad that's over. But you know what? You cannot do that in life. You got to take care of the after things. But in our nation, they come together. They had the Articles of Confederation, and each state was doing its own thing. But the nation within was falling all to pieces. Let me give you some examples of what I'm talking about and see if this does not sound familiar. Before the Constitution, during the years after the American Revolutionary War and before the ratifying of the United States Constitution, we had a crisis of government. We were governed by the Articles of Confederation, and we had many problems in the nation. For one thing, the economy was in terrible, terrible shape after the American Revolutionary War, and there was no regulation of commerce between the states or between the states and other countries. And as a result of this, the economy went down very quickly. Does that sound familiar in this day and time in which we live? Part of their problems was laws were being passed in different states. In some states, Rhode Island, for example, they passed a law that the merchants had to accept paper money. Well, if you know anything about the issuance of paper money in our nation, it has always, now when everything's going good and going wonderful and the economy's going along well, people don't have a problem with paper money. But you let the economy begin to crash, and we've been taken off the gold standard a long time ago, and I'm not an expert in that area by any means, but they were forced to accept paper money, and a lot of them had a problem with that. If you've been used to dealing in gold and silver, and all of a sudden somebody brings a piece of paper in, and they had a lot of problems. They had a lot of debt. People were losing everything they had. They were being put in debtor's prison and losing their land and the tools of their trade and all kinds of things. So the economy was in a shambles. There were all kinds of domestic problems. States were actually fighting between themselves over land claims. Had even shot upon each other. There was something called the Shays Rebellion. There was a lot of domestic problems that were going on. We in our nation today, there are a great many domestic problems going on. States are pulling in different directions, talking about secession. States within themselves talking about separating. Northern California, there's about six counties, wants to separate from the rest of California because of their debt and because of their one side's liberal and one side's conservative. Colorado's the same thing. Texas is talked about seceding. Maryland is another state that part of the counties they want to separate from the rest of the state. Connecticut, I don't know if you've been keeping up with what is going on in the state of Connecticut, but Connecticut is in an uproar over the passing of a gun law that makes what used to be law-abiding firearms holders, makes them a criminal, and they've sent out letters saying, we're going to come get your guns. Well, there's a group, a large group up there that said, you do this, and there's going to be bloodshed. I mean, this is serious business we're talking about. There's a lot of domestic problems in the United States, among the states. That's just like it was before the United States Constitution. Another problem that they had after the American Revolutionary War is that we as a nation had very little credibility. There was no means by which to pay our bills, to make treaties with other nations, to pay our debts. A lot of debts were going unpaid. Our money, our paper money in some of the states was worthless. And so other countries were bearing the brunt of our debt. It was not a good situation. We had very little credibility. Are we not right now about as weak as we have ever been in my memory in the sight of the other nations of the world? Once upon a time, when I was growing up, even just a few short years ago, boy, America, people loved. And boy, things have changed so much. I believe there's more people hates America now than loves America, and we're looked down upon, especially in the powers in the world. Cold War talking about coming around again. We're in trouble money-wise with China. Very tense relationship there. Russia, on and on and on we could go. And so, again, we have very little credibility in the world. Things were so bad before the United States Constitution, in that period of time where we were governed by the Articles of Confederation, that John Hancock, now he signed the Declaration of Independence, he had been elected the President of the Congress in 1785, the Continental Congress, not like we think about now, but they did have a Continental Congress, John Hancock was the president. He never even bothered to come to any of the sessions in New York. So that's pretty bad when you've got the president of the Congress that doesn't even come to the sessions. That's how it was. Boy, you talk about a lame duck Congress. They couldn't get anything done. And during that time period, the Continental Congress, you find the famous names that signed and worked on the Declaration of Independence and stood together during the American Revolutionary War. If you study that time period real closely, you come across a lot of names that were actually just in it for what they could get out of it. They were just in it for the power. They were not in it for the nation. They were pulling our nation in 100 different directions. It got so bad, John Adams' daughter witnessed some of the congressional proceedings. She wrote to her father a letter, and in that letter she said this: "Had you been present, you would have trembled for our country to have seen, heard, and observed the men who are its rulers. Our nation was in a mess. We were not the United States. We were very disunited, pulling in all different directions. The United States Constitution gave us a federal government that was strong enough to get some things done in the world. But there was enough checks and balances that went on that it did not make them a tyranny to the people." We talk about, now this is very important, a balance of powers. When the balance of powers is not there, then our nation is in trouble. Before the United States Constitution, now this is very important what I'm saying, because history repeats itself. I've said that before. Before the United States Constitution, we had a very weak, lame duck, ineffective, what other adjectives could I use to describe Congress? Impotent, incompetent Congress. That's what we had before the United States Constitution. And as a result of that, we had a very weak country. Had something not been done, the United States would not have lasted very long. Spain was waiting to step in. France was waiting to step in. It was a very perilous time for our nation. We had a very weak Congress that could not get anything done. The United States was ununited. Once again, when we had a strong country, we had a strong Congress. Things change. I guess this would be a good way to put it. Strong Congress, strong country. Weak country, weak Congress. History tends to repeat itself. Benjamin Franklin, who I've said, now, I don't quote him as a believer, but I really like to read after Benjamin Franklin. I believe he had a whole lot of wisdom, and I hope he knew the Lord. But during the Constitutional Convention, boy, they were arguing and fighting, and they couldn't get anything done. Benjamin Franklin stood up and gave a speech and said, we ought to have prayer. We ought to pray about this. And he quoted the verse of Psalms 127, verse 1. He said, "Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain." And boy, we need the Lord. We need some heroes in Congress once again. We need some congressmen that'll be strong leaders. Well, the Bible says we should pray for those that are in authority over us. I think we've got about a minute left this morning. And what I'd like to do before we close is let you know once again that this is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. It is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church. I'd love to invite you to come be with us. If you are in the area, maybe you do not have a church home, we're located at 1152 Baird's Creek Road. That is 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road off of Highway 105 South. We're just above the Willow Creek Golf Course. And also, I'll let you know that we have a church website. You can go there. There's sermons, archive, radio broadcasts. Maybe you missed last week's radio broadcast or any of these you'd like to go back and listen to. Church information, directions, phone number, all of those things. Mount Lebanon mtlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org. Thank you for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless you is our prayer.